Torreway, Northwest London, Monday, Chai Tammuz, 28th of June, for Rav Yisrael Sholem Aaron Shlita, Pirkei Avos 5.8.
Good morning, all.
It's very mathematics.
It's actually Pirkei Mishneches. You know what
it is?
You got that. But it's actually, for those who are frequent in the Mishnayos, there's a machlekes which Mishnah, is Mishnah Ches. So if you look in the Siddur, it's Mishnah Ches. If you look in the Mishnah on the shelf, it will be Mishnah Vov. Yes. So I highly doubt that anyone's prepared for this, so I think we're okay. But the Mishnah states, Asara Dvorim, 10 things that were created on Bein Hashmosh. So if you're looking in the Siddur, it is Mishnah Ches. Asara Dvorim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Bein Hashmosh. On the first week of creation, Friday, the last day of the creation, when Hashem created things, on Bein Hashmoshes, going from Friday to Shabbos, there were 10 things created. The Mishnah finishes off with another few, so it lists out the whole 10, Pi Haaretz, that's the thing in Parshas Korach, when the earth swallowed up Korach, Pi HaBe'er, Pi HaOsoin, that was last week's Parsha, HaKeshes, Hamon, the list, VaMichta, VaHaLuchos, is the final one of the list of 10. And then there's a few more, Yesh Eimrim, Afa Mazikin, Ukvarosu Shel Moshe, Eile Shel Avraham Avinu, another three. And then another Yesh Eimrim, Af Tzvas, Betzvas Asuya, that would be the tongues, the metal tongues. But Mefarshim explained, it's not really a machlekes between the different opinions. Rather, even in Bein Hashmoshes, we have a machlekes when is Bein Hashmoshes in the Gemara and Shabbos. And therefore, they say that the 10 is talking about the first stage of Bein Hashmoshes, and then the other ones are in later stages of Bein Hashmoshes. The first three in the Mishnah are ones we had recently in the Parshas. We had Pia Oretz in Parshas Korach. Pia Be'er we had, which is the, according to most Mefarshim, means the Be'er Shel Miriam, which followed Klal Yisrael around the Midbar, an amazing miracle, a stone which opened up its mouth to give water. That's called the Pia Be'er. There is an opinion that it's referring to the Be'er singing Shira, but the standard, the most shat in the Mefarshim, is Pia Be'er is the Be'er Shel Miriam, and Pia Osin we had last week, Yiftach Hashem is Pia Osin, when the donkey speaks. Regarding those three, there's a halacha in Siman Tzadiches, in Erechaim, Shulchan Aruch, HaMespalel Tzorech Sheichaven Beliboy Pirish HaMilah Shemaiti Bisvosov. When a person stands before the Shemini Esra, he has to have kavana, he has to clear his mind and think about the translation of the words that he is saying. A person that has many thoughts which are being attributed to him, which disturb him, he has to remove them from his mind. And the Mishnah Berurah brings down from a sefer called Sefer Hagon, with a nun, have a Sefer Hagon kosav. A scholar, how to be mevatel a machshava ro during davening. And the scholar is to say, Yoyma gimel pa'omim, pi, pi, pi. You should say three times the word pi. Ve'achakach yoroik gimel pa'omim. Afterwards, he should spit three times. Now, we can't really spit during davening. So the Mishmur says, doesn't mean spit, but yoroik legamri. Rak v'derech nachas. No problem with a lot with your tongue between your lips. But you should spit on the floor. And that is a bedvadai teilech ha-machshava. If you do that, the thought, the machshava, which is disturbing your kavan and davening, will go away. Now, the Mogen Avraham doesn't like it. Because of a Mogen Avraham, ein nirdi las is ever seich tefillas shmeine esra, da'ave hefzik. In the middle of shmeine esra, in the middle of saying davening, because I'm going to start saying words, pi, 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 then that's a hefzik. Umi yodea amrefuah bedukahi, who even knows if it works? He cast out on it. And the Shabura then brings down from the Eni Rabba, who brings from the Shlo, a different scholar that wants to go with his hand over his, with his right hand over his forehead three times. And that's a different scholar. And he should say, Leiv Toi Broli Elikim V'ruach Nochei Chadash B'Kibi three times. This is what you should do before the Tefillah. And they bring down for Reb Chaim Knievsky, that means before Psuka de Zimra. And that's a scholar, again, you don't have to do it, but that's a scholar for clearing one's mind before Tefillah. If you're in the middle of davening, says the Mishabura, and it comes, now you can't say it, because we're going now with the Mogen Avraham, but there's a Hefzik, then Yishtoik Ma'at, V'yavoy Yaminoi Al Mitzchoy V'yaharer Posuk Hanal. So you can go like this, three times, and think in your mind, Leiv Bora, that's a Skula, and we know that Skulas, don't have to have a pshat, they just have to work. That's the idea of a skula. So if it works, it works. But what's this first one from the Sefer HaGon? That one should say PPP. Yeah, so the Mishnah Berurah, the Chofetz Chaim himself, says a pshat. For who, in brackets, he says, who Roshi Teves, Palti, and Yosef. The hey, the word P is pay and a yud, is an acronym, it's the Roshi Teves for the name Palti. That's Palti ben Laish. We'll talk about him in a moment. And Yosef, Yosef HaTzadik, Deheim, Hisgabru al Yetzer Libom. They were people who were Mizgaber on the Yetzer Hara, Uchad Isa B'Sanhedrin, Yotesim B'Beis. Yeah, so we know Yosef, most of us know Yosef from the Parsha, Parsha's Vayeshev, when Yosef had this great test with Eshes Potiphar, great temptation, and he withstood it, 17 years old, alone in Mitzrayim, and he withstood it, and that's why it's called Yosef HaTzadik. So he was misgaba on the thought of the Yetzer Libon, of the Yetzer in his heart. So it's like a skull, you have Hurei, Avera, or other thoughts coming into your mind during davening to be able to push that away. The first one is a bit less known, the Palti ben Laish, because the Mishnah Berurah is saying that they stand for, the Pei is for Palti, and the Yud is for Yosef. So who was Palti? This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin that the Chofetz Chaim brings. Godel Masha Nema, the Palti, more than Boaz and Yosef. The Gemara states that is a greater Nesoyan, a greater test was Palti was successful in, succeeded in withstanding. He had a greater test. Yeah, this is Palti ben Laish, who lived in the days of David HaMelech and Shaul HaMelech. We know that Shaul promised whoever conquers Goliath, whoever, this is Psukim and Shmuel, whoever defeats the Pelishnim will be able to marry his daughter. And David goes, David defeats the Pelishnim, and he gets married to Michal Bas Shaul, the Shaul HaMelech's daughter. And then, later on, when Shaul turns against David, and he considers him a Mirid B'Malchus, he considers him somebody who is rebelling against his being king. This was false, but this was planted, as Chazal say, with, you know, the Psukim say even, by Doeg HaDoimi. Yeah, Doeg HaDoimi is one of the four Hediatas who are not Zeich to Ilim Abo. Yeah, he's a Grace of Rosha, but he was the Rish of Sanhedrin. He was the preeminent sage of Klal Yisrael at the time. And he planted those seeds into Shaul with Lashon Hara and others so that Shaul should think that David is against him. And he paskened, and he was the Rosh Sanhedrin, that being that David is Chayav Misa, again, in Shaul's mind, he was Chayav Misa, therefore it's as if he is dead already. And if he's dead, then his wife is permitted to remarry, because when somebody dies, his wife's not permitted to remarry. So he told Shaul, your daughter can remarry while David is still alive. Shaul was still chasing after David, but he's considered nice. He's considered dead. This wasn't true. This wasn't the correct. Then there is, I've seen Achrenim who are busy explaining, Doeg didn't come with such an elementary argument, just, he's considered dead. I mean, it's beforeish in the Psukim that when the husband's alive, he either needs a get or he needs to be now alive for the woman to be free to remarry. So it wasn't as simple as that, and there was more sophistication to his argument. But that's how the Gemara Chazal explained the argument in its purest form. He's considered as if he is dead, he's allowed to remarry, and Shaul takes his daughter and says, and marries her off to Palti. Palti ben Laish. Now, Palti is in a bind. He knew that that's not true. You can't marry somebody else's wife when that person's still alive. He also knew that he can't go against Shaul. He was afraid. If he would, and this is the Rosh Sanhedrin, yeah? This was the Sanhedrin paskening. There was Mutter. So, I believe with the Hilchasa, if it would seem that he was fine. If he would say no, he would be killed. So he got married, and the Gemara says, Noat Cherev B'mito, he plunges his sword into the bed, and he tells his new bride, whoever crosses the line, whoever crosses this, I'll stay on my side, you stay on your side, and whoever crosses it, Yidoke Becherev, should be struck by the sword. And that is, and a couple of years, they're living together, not weren't really living together, but they lived in one household, and he was never over, he never touched her. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Sheka Achein, the Hevel HaYoyfi, Isha Yiras Hashem Hitesalal, Sheka Achein, that's Yosef, Hevel HaYoyfi is Boaz, Boaz also had a great, with Rus, there was also a big Nesoyan, and Isha Yiras Hashem, he's Palti, because greater, it was an even greater Nesoyan than the other ones, was the Nesoyan of Palti ben Laish, because he was married, it was a long time, it was night after night, and Al Pi Halacha, he could have found the Teirim. And he held it back, and that's Palti. So the Mishnah Berurah says the Pei Yud is representing Palti and Yosef, two people who withstood. So therefore, say Pi Eskula of which we did, which Shmuel himself says one shouldn't do, but others say you should, to say pee, pee, pee. He doesn't explain the idea of spitting. Maybe it's just like to remove the machshava, but that is what he brings.
So why they leave boyas out?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Maybe we're going for the least of the most.
Buffy.
Buffy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we'll say a different shot from Mr. Brosim. Yeah. There's a Ben Yehuda. The Ben Yehuda, the Ben Ishchai, actually, not Ben Yehuda, I mean the same person, but in the Sefer Ben Ishchai Halochos, Pashas Vayeskanon, he says a fascinating thing. He brings down the Medrash, this is in Yalkut Shumoni, Pashas Vayechi. It's also in other places, but that's where the story is brought down in its entirety. The story of Remasya ben Chorosh. What's the story with Remasya ben Chorosh? He was a Tana in the times, a contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, a contemporary of Shimon Yechai, around that era, after Chorban Bayis. And the Gemara, the Medrash relates that he was sitting and learning Torah, and his face, and the Pasha Zaychi, Yalkut Shemaini, his face was shining like the sun, where he had clasped the pon of Doima Kemalachi Ashores. And his features looked like Nachi Ashores, Mipnei Nosa Inay Be'isha Miyomov. He had never looked at a woman in his life. A Tana learning Torah, we find him in the Gemara Shabbat, we find many Gemaras, Ramasi ben Chorosh, and that's how he looked like. And the Medrash relates that the Sotan walked past the Vismedrash. I don't know what these things mean, but we all have a Yitzhar inside of us, but seemingly there's another thing. The Sotan walked past, the angel of the Sotan walks past, and he sees this sight, this unbelievable sight of Remasi ben Chorosh learning Torah. And he goes up to Shemayim, to the Rebbein Shloilom, and he says, how Efshe that you have such a great tzaddik who has never been, he hasn't done Avera, has he ever had a proper Nesoyim? And Hashem says, Le Yuchaloi, you're not going to be able to, he's a tzaddik, don't start with him. So the Sotan says, Afal Dikein, let me try. And he goes down, and he appears. I don't know if the Talmidim could have saw this, but this is what the Medrash says. He appears in front of Remasi ben Chorosh, like an Isha, like a woman. Naama, the sister of Tuval Kain, all the way from Bereshis, which the Medrash relates, she was the most beautiful woman that ever existed. Shetou Acher of Hamalochim. Yeah, remember there were two angels that came down, the Nephilim, who were Tou Acher Benois Odom. This is Naama, the sister of Tuval Kain. I'm not clear enough if that's Noach's wife or not. That Noach married somebody now, I'm not sure what to say. But now I'm a bus to Achoyis to Valkayan. And that's how the Sotan appears dressed up like this woman. And straight away, Remasi ben Chorosh turns away. So he appears from the other side, turns away. So the Sotan rakes up anywhere he would look, that's all he would see. There was no way he couldn't escape. So it doesn't say this in the Medrash. I'm sure he closed his eyes. It doesn't say that in the Medrash. But it does say that he turned to his students. Again, seemingly they didn't see this because it's not clear that what they were doing. And he tells the students, bring me the metal tongs and fire, and he heats up the tongs and he blinds himself. That's the story brought down, a very famous story. And the Sotan goes up to Shammai and he says, I can't, you're right, I'm leaving him alone, he can't do anything. And the Malach Rafal gets sent to heal him. He refuses to get healed. Because he said, I'll tell you, so, and who knows if I'll be able to withstand it again. And the Eivishtuk tells the Malach Rafal, and he orivloi, tell him that there won't have any more serious in this, and he gets healed. And that's the story of Remasi ben Chorosh. Says the Ben Ishchai. Now this Remasi ben Chorosh, and he gets a bit Kabbalistic, he quotes the Arizal, and he says that in Gan Eden, when Palti ben Laish, remember Palti ben Laish, we started with the one who married David HaMelech's wife, Palti ben Laish went straight to Gan Eden. And he describes there's a Gan Eden HaTachtoin, and there's a Gan Eden HaElyon, and there's various levels, and he keep on going, and despite it saying in the Mishnah, Yofa Kiras Ruach, from Olam Haba, more than Kol Chaya Olam Haba, the entire, every sensation of all, Mikol Chaya Olam Hazeh, sorry, Chaya Olam Hazeh, correct, from all the entire humanity of experience, even a Kiras Ruach, but even in that, there's levels beyond that. And he says something called Gan Eden HaElyon, another level of Gan Eden, which after a bit of time he goes, when he got there, Palti was held up and he was said, you're right, you're a great tzaddik. At the end of the day, this is a frightening Ben Ishchai, at the end of the day, you did share a bedroom with this woman. You were forced to, you had no choice, but your eyes still saw a woman who wasn't your wife. Who still saw in parts of her that you shouldn't have seen. And therefore, this level, this madriga of Olam Haba, you're going to have to stay in the amazing place that he was, but you're not going to be able to go to the next level of Olam Haba. So Palti says, he brings this from the Arizal, that all the Tanoim you find not all, but many Tanoim, you find, have a certain mitzvah or a certain way that they're extremely medactic on. Miyomai, I was always marked with a meiser to an extreme level. Miyomai, a certain, you'll find many times in Tanoim and Gemara over, that there's a certain din that they were extremely marked with to very far extremes. And that it brings from that Arizal that these were great people who decided to come down to this world again in order to misaken one specific point. And they were the Tanoim, and they were, now he doesn't say which, who was who. But the Rish Chai says the Palti ben Laish came back down as Ermasya ben Chorosh, and he in his second Gilgal, and he therefore was tested in something of Shmira Seinayim, in something of being tempted with his eyes, and with that he withstood, he blinded his eyes, and with that he was Masakan, that Lefima Dragosoi, Tzadike Medakim, Kachot Asaira, he was Masakan it. I once related this in the place, in the shul, and somebody came up to me afterwards. He says he speaks Greek, and he told me he listens to Greek music. And he says in Greek, I don't know, I'm taking first word, I found that in other places as well say this, that in Greek the word matia means eyes. I don't know if anyone speaks Greek. But so it's interesting to me, again, I don't know. He told me, and it's probably a Greek name. We know many of the names, Tarfing, many of the names of the Chazal come are Greek names. So I looked around a bit, and there's a sefer called Heroas Bezdin for Moshe Fargo. It was printed in 1872, sefer. And over there he's discussing how to spell names for Gittin. Yeah, for you have to be very medactic how to write a name in the Gittin, it should be written accurately. So he's clearing, how do you spell Matia, Masya? Is it with a hey or with an aleph? And he says, in the Gemara it's with the aleph always. But he says, but is that how you, if a person nowadays is called Masya, what's the correct spelling? So he says it doesn't matter which way, because it's really a Greek name, and it kinoi le'inayim, it means eyes. So he says, therefore, you can do it with a hey or an aleph. But then he carries on. But the Gemara says, with an aleph. So therefore, you should do it with an aleph. But then he says, maybe not. And I didn't really understand his maskona. But definitely his starting point was that there's no, it doesn't matter because it's really a Greek name, Kinoi Le'inayim. So it's interesting that Masi ben Chorosh's name, I'm not sure if this is a name that was given to him afterwards, or Shmoy Goram, that was the name that was originally. That's an interesting point that this person pointed out to me, that in Greek, apparently even modern Greek, Masya or Matya, it means eyes. So that is how the Mishnah Berurah learns the P of saying Palti and Yosef to remove the thought from one's mind. The Sefer Dvarim Nechmodim from the Bnei Soscha, he says, in the name of his Rebbes, he says a different pshat. He says that this, the skula of the Sefer Hagon of saying P is referring to our Mishnah. The three, the Pia Oretz, the Pia Be'er, the Pia Osoin, the last few weeks, Parshias, we had Parshias Kirach, which was the Pia Oretz, Parshias Chukas, where we had the Be'er, and Parshias Bolok with the Pia Osoin. And he says, I don't know what the relevance is of the three mouths, the mouth of the earth, and the mouth of the Osoin, and the mouth of the Be'er, has to do with removing thoughts. Oh, but that's why I was Mekabel for my Revers. This is the Bnei Soscha writes on the Mishnah. And he said, therefore I'm writing it, Shiel is a Koran Dvorim. So the Velt say over Pshat, that, okay, he didn't know, but the Velt say a Remez, that maybe the Pshat is, because we know that the three roots, the Mishnah says, the three roots of all Averis is Kina, Taiva, and Kovot. Yeah, those are the three, most Averis, you can trace them to one of those three, Ovis Atoma. And the three Pi-Horets, Pi-Abe'er, and Pi-Osin, which, by the way, the Mefarshim ask what the order of the Mishnah, there's other stuff there which came before, like the Luchos, which is number 10, should have been before. Yeah, so why is it? It's not chronological, the order. And they say because we want to put all the P's together. Yeah, so this idea that these three are doing something. So the Velt say that we know that Korach, the whole problem, the whole revolt against Moshe Rabbeinu was because of kinah, of jealousy, and that was settled with the Pia Oretz. We know that the Maim, the Pia Be'er, you could really go both ways here, but we're going to go the Pia Be'er was meant to be a great it's meant to be a great Kiddush Hashem, the Ikovdo, and there was a problem of Shimon Ohamirim, again on levels of Moshe Rabbeinu, and there was instead a Kved Shemayim which came out from when Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kriva Kodesh, when he was when he had to die, even the great Moshe Rabbeinu. And then we had with the Pia Osoin, which we know the Osoin told, what did he tell Bilam, yeah, that they had a very close relationship. And that was that would seemingly the Welt refer to Taiva. So therefore, the three P's are the three things addressing it: Kina, Kovod, and Taiva, or Kina, Taiva, and Kovod. And most machshavas which come to a person to explain the Dvarim Nechmodim, which come to a person and disturb him from Avodas Hashem, can be traced to one of those three sources. And therefore, to say another pshat in the saying of the P, again, we're not explaining the spitting part, but that would be a svara maybe in the skula. The Mishnah finishes off, the tenth one, is Vahaluchos. So, being that yesterday was Shavuos v'Tammuz, and we're in the 3 weeks, and why we fasted on Shavuos v'Tammuz, says in Shulchan Aruch, because Tzor is hard, there are many tragedies, and you know the five great tragedies which happened on Shavuos v'Tammuz. So, the, one of them being, the first one, the Luchos were broken. Nishbu aluchos, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, 40 days after Har Sinai, it was meant to be the climax of Kabbalah HaTorah. Instead, there's an eagle. What happened? And he breaks the luchos. Yashakecha sheshibarta. So there's a machlekas. Most mefarshim say that the luchos of our Mishnah is referring to luchos rishonis, because the luchos shniyos, which Moshe Rabbeinu again psolacha, and we got those on Yom Kippur, he came down with those. He says the luchos shniyos were Moshe Rabbeinu carved them out from the ground. Again, Hashem wrote on them, but the actual tablets, the luchos itself, were from the ground. And therefore, luchos, Rashi says there's another rishonim, luchos of the Mishnah means luchos rishonis. It's just, there is a there, the Al-Sheikh, Pashas Nosso, he disagrees, and he says that luchos of the Mishnah means luchos shniyos, the second ones. And that Hashem had created those in there underneath Moshe Rabbeinu's tent from Bein Hashmoshes. He says, because the Luchos Rishonos, very interesting story, is such a spiritual entity which we can't be masik. Again, this is in a list of things of Pia Be'er and Pia Oretz, all of these things are, and the Matter of Moshe, but even Klapei that, he says Luchos Rishonos can't be in that list, and he says, therefore, Luchos refers to Luchos Shniyos. Again, most Rishonim say it's going on the Luchos Rishonos. So, it bothered me, we saw in Shavuos, when I was a kid, and I know my kids come home from school with it, and that on Shavuos they come home with a picture of Har Sinai, and it has lots of flowers, and then there's two luchos on top, and it's not just an English thing, because when I lived in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, a few years, and they also had, they came in from Gan with similar pictures, and it bothered me that the luchos weren't given on Shavuos. Yeah, it's a first of Psukim in the Torah. The luchos were either given, the first ones, on Shavuos v'Tammuz yesterday, and they were broken, or they were given on Yom Kippur, that was just the second luchos shniyos. Yeah, Moshe Rabbeinu went up with the second one, but they were definitely not on Shavuos. So again, asking a great question on the kindergarten teachers, but why do they make the picture of the luchos on Shavuos? That the thunder, the lightning, the flowers, all Klal Yisrael. So it's the Aseres HaDibros were said. Yeah, the Aseres HaDibros were said, but the actual luchos, the tablets, weren't given there. They weren't given there. So why do they, again, I'm asking a grace akasha, maybe it's just roimus akoilos, yeah, we know we can see the difference. So a way to visualize it, they make the luchos.
You're saying the Rebbein Shem gave the first luchos to Moshe Rabbeinu when he came down.
It says that in the first, it says, come up and I'll give you, and 40 days later, it's definitely not on Shavuos, it was the next day, he says, come up, and 40 days later, he brings them down.
Not created.
Oh, so that's what I'm gonna try and prove. But the Pashtas, you read the Chumash, it doesn't say that. Pashtas says it was given the, we now know that they were created the Bein Hashmoshes, yeah, the Mishnah says. So if we're talking about the creation of them, it's already from then. Although you could say it's the tablets, but it says also the Aksav, the Michtov, or the putting it together. Maybe. Pashtus, it's later, Shavuos v'Tammuz Yom Kippur, so what's going on with the picture? So I looked around a bit this year, and there's a Gemara, I'm not doing that for Yomi, but correct me, I think it's in Yuma, if someone correct me if it's not there, that says, Ma bein luchos rishonos l'shnios. Godel atznios, Rashi brings it down on our Torah. Godel, how great is the inyan of tznios, of not being, of showing to other people, of being b'tznios. That the luchos rishonos were given b'pombi with a great noise and dramatic effect and thunder, lightning, ish. That was taka broken, didn't last. And the second ones, the ones that came with the Salachti Kedvarecha of Yom Kippur, those we still have. Yeah, always people talk about the greatness of the luchos rishonos. There's one mile luchos shnios had. Luchos shniyos didn't break, and therefore they're unbreakable, the luchos shniyos. And the Chazal say, because God lets shniyos, something which is given with shniyos lasts. And Gemara is learning from that a person wants something to last, he should do with shniyos. Question is, hold on a moment. The Luchos Rishonos were given with a great noise. The Luchos Rishonos were given a Shivasa B'Tammuz. Why is Shivasa B'Tammuz more of a great fanfare? Why, where was there more ish on Shivasa B'Tammuz than in Yom Kippur? Luchos Rishonos, if the ish leim of Luchos Rishonos somehow had to do with Matan Torah, then Chazal, we understand Chazal. But seemingly, when you read the psukim, it seems that simple pshat seems to be they came 40 days later, and if they came 40 days later, there wasn't any more of a noise, unless the koila noise chalusha of the eagle. But the only other one was the by Yom Kippur there was a slachti kedverecha. So there was, why is one considered to be given shalei b'tznias and luchos shnias is considered to be given b'tznias? Seemingly, they were both given in similar settings. So Rashi, if you look at Rashi in Tehillim. On Kapitel Chof Tes, which we say Friday night, Mizmer LeDavid, Hovel Hashem, and it says Koil Hashem B'Koyach, Koil Hashem B'Hodo, Koil Hashem Choytzev L'Havais Eish. And what does Choytzev L'Havais Eish mean? It's carving out in fire. It says Rashi Rabbeinu Dorshu, Chazal learned that the Dibros themselves, when Hashem spoke the Dibros to us, they carved themselves into the Luchos. There's a Rashi B'Shem Chazal. I tried to track down this medrash, but the Rashi brings it down. I've seen the Dibros themselves track themselves into, carve themselves into the Luchos. And if you look in the Targum Yenison in Yisrei, in the words of Nechi Hashem Elokecha, so Yenis Mezil describes it, it's kedai to look, the Aramaic language describes what happened there. He says, Katso, when the Eivishta Yisborach V'Yisborach said the Dibros, says there was fire, there was lightning, unbelievable language he uses, and he says, and at that moment it was visible to the entire Machna, Mashiach, the Yisrael, the entire Machna could see the words, and he says, these words went further down and implant themselves into the Luchos, the Hava B'Yodoi de Moshe, which were in the hands of Moshe, standing on our Sinai, B'Tzovach V'Oma Ami B'nei Yisrael, Onoichi Hashem Elokecha. So we have Yenis Mezila Tana, who is saying that even if it was in Moshe's hands, again, Moshe didn't have them, he didn't bring them down with him, but they were in his hands, these Shtei Luchos, when he was Amad al-Sinai, and the actual Dibros became the Luchos, and the Mashor wants to use this Targum Yenison, he's the one who points me there, the Mashor in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Hei Amad Aleph, where the Gemara discusses the Neutrikoim of Onoichi, the Rosh Tevis of Onoichi, and the second verse, Nisa Tana, the Gemara says, Onoichi, Amira Ne'ima Ksoves Yehovi, a pleasant speech I have given you in written form, says the Mashal. Where's the written form? So he said, please, I am the Midrashim. I'm not sure, maybe he means the Rashi's Medrash, Ubatargim Yenison, that it was then Bishas Aseres Adibras, Bishas Shvuas, that's when that was the creation, as you would call it, that's when the word entered into the Luchos. So, going back to what you were saying before, you have to say the Luchos themselves were Bein Hashmoshes, the Ksav V'Hamichtav was Bein Hashmoshes, but the going into the Luchos, that happened, B'Yodai De Moshe, and we've resolved our problem with the kindergarten, Avadim Lav Neviim, B'nei Neviim, and they are definitely correct, and we should Ein Lahar Achareim. Just to have to say the Sfasemes, which is a Moridik Sfasemes, well known, who asks, if that's the case, why did the Luchos, just give the Luchos Rishonos, why is the Bar Ilam making such a big fuss with the Luchos Rishonos? Just give it B'tznias, and then you won't have to have the Shvira. If the Gemara is saying that that something which is given with noise publicly is not going to last, why is that, why was it, so Pashup Shah is it to teach you this lesson? But Kinner is asking that's not the Pshat, Chazal Torah made a whole Eish and a whole Maimed Har Sinai just to teach us that Tznias is not. So he says that Zavada Torah has to be given over with fire, Torah has to be given over Be'esh, Torah has to be given over with a grace of noise. And yes, there is a Shvira, and we know every person when he starts a new Chavrus Shaft, he goes with a Knak, and then there's a Shvira, and then you can, now you can have a Luchos Shnias, you restart again, but it has to be given in the correct fashion, and that fashion is Be'esh. Schreiben.